power of an invite. Over these past several months, thousands and thousands of people have been viewing online. Hundreds and hundreds of people have decided to follow Jesus. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for giving so that we can spread the gospel all over the United States of America. We love you guys. There are two ways to give. The first is our Christ Church Ohio app, and the second is our Christ Church Ohio website. If you have your phone, take it out, share on Facebook, invite a friend to watch. If you are new here, we are going to throw our connection card, make it real easy for you. Just click the link, fill it out so that we can serve you better. Let's stand. If you're at home, you can stand, you can sit, but if you're here, let's stand and worship our awesome God.
You are good. is holding on to me. God is holding on. When the night is holding on to me, God is holding on.
Thank you.
His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave.
Our God has robbed the grave.
Your name.
Good morning, West Campus. It's good to see you in the room. You can go ahead and be seated. If you're watching online, you can be seated too. My guess is you probably already are. Well, it's good to be with you today. Hey, can we just make some noise again for those watching online? We love you. You're still as much part of this church family, right? Hey, and if you would do me a favor, if you're watching online or if you're watching the room, take out your phone and share. If you have Facebook, TikTok, MySpace, Instagram, Venmo, all of it, I don't know, just give it a share. We would love to help people connect with Christ in every way that we can. And today, we are going to finish our sermon series called Help for the Agitated. So we've been talking about frustration, and we've been talking about people that annoy us. And I know you that are watching are so godly that you've never felt those emotions. You've never looked at another person with disgust or annoyance. But I want you to know, there's some of us, like me, that have. So this sermon series could probably be one that we preach 52 weeks a year, if your name's Chet Beatler, but we're going to land the plane today and wrap it up. But let me say a prayer before we do. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that in the craziness of our world, we can just be reminded that your name is victory. That, Father, all that is standing against us is nothing compared to the God that is for us. That, Father, 2,000 years ago, when you rose again, you won. And your victory is our victory, Father. And we rejoice in that today because there's hard things going on in life. But Lord, we know the battle is the Lord's, and it's been won. And today, Father, I pray specifically for maybe some of us who are really struggling with anger right now. There's a lot to be angry about. There's a lot of opportunities to fall into that, God. And I pray that you would help us to be angry but not sin, that you would help us to maybe choose the virtue of hope over the virtue of anger. And I pray it would glorify your good and holy name. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Now let me read the scripture to you today that we're going to look at. It's Psalm 37, and we're just going to focus on verse 8 and 9. Here's what it says. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not be agitated. Say that with me. Do not be agitated. See, you're good. Sermon over. If only it were that easy, right? It can only bring harm. For evildoers will be destroyed, but those who put their hope in the Lord will inherit the land. That's what we're going to talk about today. And like I said, I want to focus on this idea of anger, of not leaning into anger in this season in our life. And you know how in life there are things that are cool and they have their place, but they're a little bit dangerous to handle. You know what I'm talking about? Like fireworks are cool. Anybody else like fireworks? Any pyros in the house tonight? It's okay. You can be honest in the house of God. If you're a Pyro online, we get it. I get it. I'm one. And when me and my good buddy TJ were young, we were at a campground one 4th of July, and we were in high school, and we had this idea that we were going to put a firework show on for the campground. Now, we didn't have any fireworks. We didn't have any money. So we got a hat, and we went up to all the people in the campground and said, hey, we would like to put a firework show on. Would you like to have one? Said, yeah. All right, well, would you donate to it? And it worked, believe it or not. And people gave us a good amount of money. And so we went to the fireworks store. Now, you may be questioning, you know, their judgment. Was that a good idea to give a bunch of cash to two teenage boys who wanted to put a fireworks show on for the campground? Probably a terrible idea, but they did it. So we got it. We got all the fireworks. We kind of had this big setup going on. And we started the show, and we were having a great time. And I got, like, some kind of, like, mega-charged Roman candles. You know what a Roman candle is? You hold it, and it shoots a little fireball. Anybody with me on that? You seen one of those? They're cool. Well, somehow I found, like, a mega one. It was a little bit bigger and beefier, and I was holding it and shooting it. And then just the thought came in my mind, like, this is how things go wrong with fireworks. They don't shoot off right, and it blows off your hand, and it's this terrible thing. And so I kind of started getting a little nervous. So I subconsciously loosened my grip, and it shot off, and it shot out of my hand. And so, you know, in the wisdom that I had, I just kicked it, because I thought, well, if I kick it, maybe it will get out of the way. And it did, but it landed facing everybody that was watching the fireworks. And went off. And let's just say that was the last time I was ever invited to put you to the campground and to putting on a firework display. But if you would like to resurrect my career, I'd be glad to do it at your home for the right price. Because fireworks are cool, but they're dangerous. They're cool, but you have to handle it with care. They can go wrong really easy. And today, the psalmist is telling us that truth about anger as well. Anger is a normal emotion in life. It's a normal experience, but it can go wrong very easily, and we have to handle it with care. So today, I want to talk about three ideas about anger. We're going to talk about the power of anger. We're going to talk about discerning our anger. And we are going to talk about replacing our anger. So the power of it, discerning it, and replacing it. And what my real hope is today is that you and I, if you're especially angry in this season, because here's what I'm afraid of, is that our anger is changing us in all the wrong ways. That some of us, we're mad. And I'm not questioning, is your anger justified? I'm not questioning that today. But I do want to ask you, would you run your anger through a biblical filter? Would you measure it against the truth and reality of God? That's what I want to challenge you today. Are you willing to do that today? Could I get a real heartfelt Southern amen if you are? All right. And same here online. Give me just a beautiful Southern amen if you're willing to do it as well. Because I think this is so important. Because I think there are some of us going through this season, going through the political climate, the pandemic climate, going through just the stress of work and how our jobs might be changing or might be lost. We're going through so much right now. And I don't want our anger to shape us in the wrong way during this time. And I believe this psalm is so important for us today. So let's talk about the power of anger first. First, I want you to know that anger is not always a bad thing. And here's how I know it. When you read about the life of Jesus, Jesus got angry. And we can read the stories. And if you have this kind of picture of Jesus with, like, green rolling hills in the background and, like, cute sheep everywhere, and, you know, kind of little kids running around with smiles on their face and ice cream cones, then some of these stories where Jesus gets angry, you're going to be like, that's not the Jesus I know about. Who is this guy? Because one time he went into the temple, so he went into church in their day, and he flipped over all the tables where people had like kind of a little store set up. He flipped it out and he drove everyone out. That's not the picture of Jesus that I grew up with, right? Where's like the long white flowing robe? You know, where's the beautiful feathered hair? Got the John Bon Jovi look going on. Where's that? By the way, that Jesus didn't exist. But anyway, but he got angry, but yet, hear this, he was perfect in thought and deed. So there is a holy expression of anger. There is. God, we see in the scripture, has anger. The great apostle Paul, in the book of Ephesians, he writes this guidance to us. He says, be angry, but do not sin. That there can be a healthy anger in our lives. And that's true, and I want to create some room for that. But can I also say this, that Jesus was angry and didn't sin, but here's what I want you to know today. You're not Jesus. Would you turn to the person next to you and just remind them, you're not Jesus. It might be a little harder for you to walk this line. You're not Jesus. It might be a little more of a dangerous route for you and for me. Because anger, although it's not always wrong, it does easily go wrong. You with me on that? It's not always wrong, but it does easily go wrong. It easily takes us to places that God doesn't want us to go. It can poison and taint our view of others in reality. It can make us lash out at the people that we're not actually angry at, but they just end up getting the effects of our anger. If you've ever done that, give me a solid amen. You were angry at work. You took it out on your spouse, right? We know that this can easily go off the rails. And so we have to discern our anger. Because here's what the psalm says. It says, in this time of frustration, refrain from it. Don't lean into it. Don't keep feeding it. Don't allow it to become the primary emotion that you're experiencing in this season where you're really, really annoyed. And the psalmist is saying this to us because he knows that that's what we're going to lend to. He gets it. The writers of scripture, they're human too. They get mad like you do. They stub their toe. They wake up, you know, they put on clothes. They did all that kind of thing. They understand what it's like to live in a frustrating world. But yet God perfectly speaks through them to us and says, I get it, but don't feed it. Don't refrain from it. It will lead only to harm. So let me ask you some questions to discern. If you maybe feel today as we talk about this, if you have a sense in your heart that maybe there is some anger in you that is unhealthy, or maybe you're not sure if it's unhealthy, but you're open to asking yourself the question, then I want to give you some questions to discern this anger, okay? And I just want you to ask them for yourself, okay? Don't hit your spouse. You listening? You listening to this? I want each of us to examine our own heart and let God and that other person examine their heart. That makes sense? You with me on this? All right, so here's some questions I want us to ask ourselves to see, is our anger healthy? And here's the first one. Is my anger leading me to hate people that are created in God's image? Is it leading me to that? And these don't even have to be people that you know. It could be public figures. It could be people that you'll never have the chance to know. But here's what I know about hate. It will still mess you up at some level. You don't have to know them. You don't have to see them. But if there's hate in your heart, what I know is it's going to be an impediment to the progress of God's work in your life and my life. In other words, it's not going to help. You with me on this? It's not going to help. And so is my anger leading me to hate people that are made in God's image? And you might be like, well, who's made in God's image? It's kind of a trick question. Everybody is. So whoever they are, the point is, if there's hate, then that's not ultimately a problem with them. That's a problem with me. Because what does Jesus teach us? To even love our enemies. That's the call for followers of Jesus, because Jesus says that's far more productive than hate. That makes a better life and a better world than hate. So I want you to think about that. Is my anger leading me to hate people that are made in God's image? Here's the second question. Is my anger taking on a self-righteous tone? This one's kind of hard to determine, because our perspective makes sense to us. We believe it. It might as well be from God himself in our own minds, but that's not always the case. And so what I want you to think about is the things that I'm upset about, that I'm becoming angry about, have I ever been guilty of them also? See, in other words, it might really frustrate me and make me angry if I ask my wife to do something, to pick something up on the way home from work, and then she forgets to do it. And then I'm huffing and puffing, said, how could you forget to do it? But if I take a second and I think about all the stuff I've forgotten to do, there are not enough books in the world to contain it. And so my experience of anger looks different. Sometimes we get really, really self-righteous, but we actually have been guilty, maybe even more often, of the things that we're upset about. And instead of anger, we need a different response. You with me on that, church? So does it have a self-righteous tone? Third, is it spilling over into other areas of my life and onto other people? And if you want to know the real answer to this, ask the people that are close to you. Ask the people that live with you. Just look them and say, honestly, am I bringing home my frustration? Am I bringing home my anger? And they'll probably tell you. I was having a conversation with Allie the other day, and somehow kind of, you know, I've been a little stressed and frustrated and worn out and all that sort of thing. And she said something along the lines of, you haven't been very much fun to live with. Can you believe that? Yeah. I said, me? What? What? No. And then we argued about it for 20 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. But it's truth. We can easily carry it, right? And my frustration's not with her. My frustration's with this craziness that we're in, with figuring out what life looks like right now, with figuring out what church looks like, and just trying to move forward in the healthiest way. But some of that was spilling over into my marriage. So when it spills over, it's a problem. Amen. And there are casualties that we don't intend. It becomes a dangerous thing. Here's the fourth question. Is my anger making life more intolerable? Here's the truth. Some of us, we don't like life right now, and it's our fault. We've gotten so angry and so frustrated that we don't enjoy life. We can't find joy in anything. We're just consumed with our frustration. And church, can we all agree, why are we making ourselves miserable? Like, life's too short. God's too good to just live in this box of anger and let it ruin everything. There are incredible blessings of God that we can enjoy right now. But here's what I know. You won't enjoy them if you're angry. You won't enjoy them if you're raging on the inside. And God's saying, you're an idiot. Maybe he's nicer than that. He said, what are you doing? Why are you wasting this gift that I've given to you? And you're just sitting there and you're stewing. And here's the last question. Is my anger producing the righteousness of God? Is God being glorified through it? The scriptures talk about an anger that doesn't produce the righteousness of God. And in your life, the measure that I want to use is does this glorify and honor God in some way? Is this actually moving things forward? Sometimes there can be an anger that brings a holy energy to our life where we just say, no, I can't take this situation anymore. I can't take living like this anymore. And it can lead to change, and that can be a healthy thing. But the anger we're going through right now, is it producing the righteousness of God in our lives? So those are some questions to discern the anger in our lives. And now let's look at this psalm one more time and look at replacing anger. Let me read this verse to you again, verse 9. For evildoers will be destroyed, but those who put their hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Those who put their hope in the Lord will inherit the land. So what does the psalmist say? He says, don't give yourself to anger, but instead, what do? Put your hope in the Lord. Other translations say, trust in the Lord. So this is a behavior that is in place of our natural and normal response of anger. Hope in the Lord. And so I want to challenge you, and I want to challenge myself to, instead of leaning into anger, leaning into hope. Because I see a lot of anger in the world today. I don't see a lot of hope. I see a lot of anger. I don't see a lot of people living from a place of hope and strength and trust in the Lord. And the psalmist says, hope in the Lord. And can I just tell you this today? You may not know this, but the scriptures never define God as a God of anger. See, there's many ways where the scriptures define God, and we'll use a couple adjectives to really bring a picture of his nature. But you know what? They do characterize him as the God of hope. Romans 15 says, may the God of hope, not the God of anger, not the God of frustration, not the God of knocking fools out, but the God, that'd be kind of a cool one though, wouldn't it? I wouldn't mind having that in there somewhere, maybe in like a weird book like Philemon or something. But the God of hope. And what that means is that one of the primary ways that God relates to the world, does God have anger? Yes. But he's more defined by hope. He's more defined by love. He's more defined by grace. And I want our lives to be more defined by those things as well. Because I believe we need hope right now. And the people of God are meant to be the ones that bring hope to this world, especially right now. We don't need a lot more anger. I think that base is covered. There's enough anger to go around. All of us, we could all drink of it. We could all pass it on. That there's plenty to go around. There's no shortage of anger. But I do see a shortage of hope. And that's where you and I can make a difference and be different for the sake of Jesus Christ. So how do we hope in the Lord? Let me give you some practical ways of what this could look like in your life and my life. How do we hope in the Lord? Number one, recharge your batteries. Sometimes anger is really an expression of fatigue. It's an expression of being worn out. And it's understandable to be a little worn out right now. Many of us, we've gone through a lot in a quick period of time. And maybe parents, you're wondering, what does the fall look like? You're worried about school. There's just a lot of big things still hanging out there, and it's understandable to be worn out. But when we get worn out, sometimes we get on edge. And sometimes we become someone that we're not, that we don't want to be. And so if you want to hope in the Lord, I would challenge you to recharge your batteries. to take time to allow God to fill you back up. If that's spending time in prayer, if that's just taking a nap. One Christian author, he says, sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is take a nap. I love that line. I may have abused that line at times in my life, but I'll hold on to it. But recharge your batteries. What fills your bucket? Our buckets, every one of us, I know it's been like this. It's been dumped out since about March. And you know what? If you keep living from a bucket that is empty, you're not giving anything good to anyone. So recharge your batteries. Do what you need to do. Take the time that you need the time to take. Make different habits. Do things different. Buy some Mitchell's ice cream and eat it until your stomach hurts. And you will find hope in the Lord again. You didn't know they were related, but they are. Here's the second thing. Choose forgiveness, grace, and empathy when dealing with others. Do you think your anger is going to change someone? Probably not. Let me ask you this. Has someone else's anger changed you? It's made me angry, right? You come at me angry, I'm going to come right back. Then we're both just doing this, and nothing good is going to happen. But church, can we think about our own lives for a second? How many times has someone's forgiveness, has someone's grace, has someone's empathy actually changed something in us? A lot of times. And guess what? God didn't change you by his anger. He didn't come into your life and chew you out and dog you and tell you just what a despicable human being you are. No, he showed you your sin, and then he showed you his forgiveness and his love and his mercy and his grace. And he said, all this is gone, son. All this is done. It's a new day. He changes us with his grace. And that is a good pattern to use with other people. Maybe the person, the people, the situation, maybe what it needs is your grace, not your anger. It needs your understanding, your willingness to say, okay, I don't see it that way, but I would like to listen and understand your perspective. And can we just talk? Can we not name call? Can we not demonize each other? But can we just have a healthy conversation? Church, I think that will get us a lot farther. And it makes it easier to sleep at night too. How many angry conversations do you have and you just sit there at night and you're like, you know what? If I had it again, this is what I'm going to say. And if he said that, I'm going to say that. Ooh, I got him so good. You're like, it's 2 a.m. What am I doing? I got to wake up at 6. This is horrible. Now I'm even more angry. Here's the third thing. Focus on small but healthy change in our life. One of the enemies of hope is that we will look at something in our life, we will look at something in our situation, and we'll say, I can't do anything to make it different. And I want you to know, that is rarely ever true. There's usually always something we can do to make it better. I can't change the people around me, I can't always change my situation or my geography, but I can always change my own attitude. I can always change what I bring into the room, into the relationship, into the situation. And believe it or not, that small change makes a huge difference in everything. And you focus on that. I love how the book of Romans says, it says, don't be overcome by evil. Don't let them win. But overcome evil with good. I love that. Overcome evil with good. What we are upset about, can we be overcomers in this way and overcome it with good, with the grace of Christ? Here's the fourth thing. Decide that you are going to be the most grateful person in any room that you enter. I love this idea. I heard Michael Lewis on a podcast recently. He's an author. He wrote Moneyball. Anybody see that? Love that. One of my favorite movies, The Blind Side, The Big Short. All these, like, they became movies, but they were first books, and they deal with really, really interesting topics. And so he's a very bright guy, has a fascinating background. But on this interview, he said that there came a time in my life where I just made a commitment with myself that I decided I was going to be the most happy person in any room I entered. I was just choosing to do it. I didn't always feel like it, didn't always have a lot of reason for it, but he said, I just decided that's who I was going to be. And I loved that. I thought there's some great wisdom in that. And today, I want to just nuance it a little bit differently and say, can we choose to be the most grateful people in the room? Can we choose to focus on the goodness of God in our lives? Can we choose to focus on the grace, on the mercy, on the love that God has shown us, on the gifts that he's given us? And can we just feed our heart and our mind with that, that wherever we go, we're bringing in this deep heart of gratitude that I think will change a lot of things and will fill us with hope. Gratitude is the soil that grows hope really, really well. And you can choose it, and so can I. And here's the last thing. Connect to Jesus Christ in a fresh way. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of hope. There's never a situation that's too messed up that he can't heal. There's never an obstacle that is too overwhelming that he can't lead us through and bless us through and guide us through. I recently watched The Last Dance on Netflix. Michael Jordan, the last season that he was with the Bulls. Anybody see that? Man, if you haven't seen it, that will fill you with hope today. If you haven't seen it, if you've seen it, just let us know. It's so good. If you want, actually just turn it on after the sermon today, and your life will be changed. But watching it, it was amazing to see the competitor, which many of us know that Michael Jordan was, but you just get a new perspective on it. And whenever the Bulls seemed to be out of a game, whenever they were behind, whenever the stakes were really high, what do you think happened? Give the ball to Mike, right? It's the last shot. Who are you going to give it to? Not Dennis Rodman. If you want a goofy haircut, he's your guy. But if it's the last shot, you give it to Mike, right? If you're down, what do? You feed him the ball, because he had this amazing ability to bring hope and the chance for victory into any game, no matter what was happening. I mean, the athleticism, the competitive drive, the leadership that he had, just the unwillingness to give up is really cool to see. And as I thought about that, I think about our lives today. There's a principle there. Whenever our life isn't going the way that we want, whenever we're down on the scoreboard, whenever we're just getting whooped on the courts, what's the best thing to do? Give it to Jesus Christ. Give it to Christ. Give your problems. Give your frustrations. Give your worries. Give your fears. Give your grievances. Give your annoyances. Whatever we can't do, which I know in all of our lives, there's weights that we can't carry. There's burdens that we can't bear. There's frustrations that we can't overcome. What do? Let's pass it to Christ, because he can, and he will, and you and I will be better for it. There's nothing that he can't figure out. There's nothing that he can't solve. There's not a detail of your life and my life that he doesn't care about. You might say, I can't give this to God. It's too complicated, or it's too superficial, or I'm embarrassed that this is even an issue in my life. I want you to give it to him today. Maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum. You're like, it's too big. It's hopeless. There's nothing that can turn this around. There's no way that I could ever go through this with a sense of hope and well-being. Give it to him. He can. He can do it. He can lead you. He can help you. And he will. Hope is way better than anger. And if there is a serious lack of hope in your life and my life, the one who can bring it better than anyone else is Jesus Christ himself. And can we just give whatever is weighing on us to him today? Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? And I want you to just picture in your mind for a second what you're worried about, what you're frustrated with. Maybe it's a person. I want you to picture their face. Maybe it's a situation. Maybe it's just the uncertainty and ambiguity of the times that we live in. I want you just to see it in your mind. And now I want you just to see yourself giving it to Jesus Christ. And just wipe your hands clean, just like you just washed them in the sink. Just wipe your hands clean and say, Christ, I've given this to you. It's yours now. I want to live different. I want to live with hope, not anger. I want to live with faith, not fear. I want to live with love, not hate. And Lord Jesus, we just give our issues to you. Lord, we give them to you because we know that when you went to the cross, you took all the issues on yourself that could really ruin us, that could really destroy us, and you wiped them clean when you died and rose again. Father, today we're burdened with struggles that are beyond our wisdom, beyond our strength, beyond our ability. But Father, where we are weak, we know that you are strong. And so, Father, we just call on your strength to help us, to walk with us, to guide us, to bless us, to be near us, to renew us, to refresh us, so we can do all that you want us to do. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge you are our hope. You are our trust. You are our joy. And we give all this to you. In your great and your holy name, amen.
Spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory.